We do count a privilege of being here, thankful for Brother Clark, and we've truly enjoyed each message up until now. And desire that you pray for us. Bring you greetings from Faith Baptist Church in Lynn. Still there, still going, Brother Clark. Truly, the Lord's blessed us. Really has. Lord bless us in Faith Baptist Church. Had a lot of young people saved in the last year or two. Had another one saved Sunday. And it's just like any other church. We have our ups and downs, but we enjoy being there. We still enjoy it. Go to church feeling good. And said when I can't feel good, well, that's the time I'm going to leave. But still go to church feeling good, and the Lord's really blessed us. All right, John chapter 17. I want to just read one verse to begin with. One or two verses tonight. John 17. Now I believe this is a prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer for the church, for the preservation and sanctification of the church. In John 17, in verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. Believe there's two statements here that we want to consider for a while tonight. Jesus praying and said, thou hast sent me into the world. And I have sent them into the world. And I believe there's a likeness or a resemblance, certainly a pattern, as the Father has sent Christ, that He's also sent us. A lot of things that involved in these verses. One thing the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us here of His pre-existence, that He was sent. And so He always was. God-man, always was God, from eternity, always will be. He was speaking concerning His deity. And I believe a lot of different ideas today concerning the Lord Jesus Christ when He was up on the earth. But He always was deity. Always was. All He did, when the Bible talks about He took on the form of a servant and humbled Himself there and humbled Himself unto death, even death on the cross. He laid aside the right or to exercise His glory while He was upon the earth. He was truly the Son of God. And so there it's speaking concern that He was with the Father in the beginning, that He was mediator of the covenant of the grace, yea, long before He ever come into the world, that He was the mediator of the covenant of grace, and in the fullness of time, the Bible said that He manifested Himself. In Galatians chapter 4, said that in the fullness of time, that He come forth, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. But the Bible also said that He stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so He always was God, and there, before He ever took on the form of a servant, that He was the mediator of the covenant of grace. Now, I want us to just notice some things concerning Him tonight. First of all, that He did not come on His own accord. That's what He's telling us here. Did not come on His own accord. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when He walked upon this earth, He loved to say that I come not of my own will, but the fact that the Father had sent Him. Father had sent Him into the world. We can read this over and over again in the Word of God, but I want us to notice a few verses tonight in the book of John chapter 4 and in verse 34. Here where it's speaking that He did not come of His own. John chapter 4 and in verse 34, here as the disciples come back after their had gone to get things to eat, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and finish His work. I want you to know, I want to say this tonight. Do we believe these verses to be literal? that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent into the world. And he goes on to say it, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. My friend, tonight, I believe that's literal, that he's talking to you and I tonight as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have been sent into the world for a purpose, and we ought to finish it also. We are to finish it. He said, I come to do thy will, O God. And he come to finish the work. And so he was one that come not on his own accord. When he was but a young man at the age of 12 years, when he was there in the temple, he said in Luke 2 and in verse 49, he said, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? I tell you, my friends, tonight, you and I need to be about our Father's business. Brother, I tell you, we live in a time. I tell you, I'm burdened tonight and have been concerning the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We fail to have a burden to carry out the will of God for our lives, don't you see? I tell you, we have tonight, we have been those that have been sent. In the book of John chapter 8 and in verse 42, here also speaks of his not coming on his own accord. In John chapter 8 and in verse 42, notice here what Jesus said. In verse 42, the 8th chapter, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. See, there were some went around and said, why, we be Abraham's son and so forth. And we never was under the law or under bondage of sin. And they are talking about how they love God. And Jesus said, if God was your Father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. And so he was one that was sent, not only sent, but he was commissioned to do a job. My friend, he was commissioned to do a job. In the book of 1 John, chapter 4, and in verse 14. I want us to notice these verses. 1 John, chapter 4, and in verse 14. Here we see concerning what he was sent for. He tells us here in verse 14, and he said, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be a Savior of the world. Jesus Christ was sent for a purpose. He come that he might be a Savior, don't you see? And I tell you tonight, he was qualified to do that work. He took on the responsibility of the petition that he was called to do. Brother, he took that on, don't you say? He was qualified because the Bible said in Colossians 2 and 9 that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. My friend, tonight, I'm thankful tonight that he was sent, don't you say? He was not only the Son of God that was sent, but he was responsible to fulfill and discharge that office which he was to carry out. Brother, he had that responsibility. He said, as the Father hath sent me, even so I send I you. My friend, tonight, his delight was to do the will of his Heavenly Father wherever he went and during his ministry. And there, even in the hour when he come down to the hour of dying, there before his death in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, oh God, I come to do thy will. Not by my will, but thine be done. My friends, tonight, I believe that's an example. I know we're not saved by examples, but I'll tell you tonight, he set forth an example as he said, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Amen. Oh, listen, my friends, tonight, he delighted to do the will of his Heavenly Father. Amen. He delighted to do that. Wherever he went, he said, I come for that very purpose. He delighted to do that. In the book of John chapter 5 and in verse 30, let us notice here, he's speaking concerning doing the will of his Heavenly Father. John chapter 5 and in verse 30, he said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. You see, my friends, tonight, wherever he went, John 6, chapter 6, and in verse 38, he said, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. My friend, I want to say again, the Lord Jesus Christ was qualified. And I tell you, we hear people talk about being saved one day and lost the next. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ took on that responsibility as a priest. He fulfilled everything that is necessary for you and I. As a prophet and as a king, He's going to fulfill everything, don't you see? He is responsible tonight, my friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ came as a Savior, and He was responsible to carry out all of the things that God had sent Him to do, and He paid for my sin once and for all. If He didn't do it, then we don't have salvation, don't you see? He paid for every bit of it. He carried it, fulfilled, don't you see, the things that God would have Him to do. And as we, some of the brethren read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, He is the author and the finisher. And I like that verse in Philippians chapter 1 and 6 where it said, He that hath begun a good work in you. In Spanish it said, He will continue to perfect it until the day of redemption. It'll be perfect, don't you see? And so, my friend, Jesus Christ, He come into the world to fulfill and to finish that which He was sent to do. He said here, He was sent. And you know, there's another thing. He talked about many times. He said, I come to do Thy will, O God, in Hebrews chapter 10 and 9. Talking about the will of God. But many times during this ministry, not only said, I will, He said, I must do it. I must do it. John chapter 4. I want us to notice these verses. John chapter 4 and in verse 4. Here, as He was going there to preach, as He was going into Samaria, in verse 4, He said, I must needs go through Samaria. He must, don't you say? He was not only desired to do God's will. His main, His purpose was to carry out and fulfill the will of His Heavenly Father. In John chapter 9 and in verse 4, notice here again, John chapter 9 and in verse 4, He said, I must work the work of Him that sent me, while it is day that night cometh when no man worketh. He's talking about, I must do those things. In John chapter 10 and in verse 16, we read again, He said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. My friend, tonight, the object, Jesus Christ said that the Father had sent Him for a purpose, to put away sin, to magnify the law, and to abolish death, don't you see, that we might have everlasting life through the Lord Jesus Christ. He come for that purpose. The mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, was the greatest thing that ever happened in this world. It was greater than creation. That mission of Jesus Christ, there is nothing in the world that can be compared to His mission as He was sent into this world, don't you see? He come that we might have salvation and that God might be glorified in it all. And that the Bible said that He might subdue all things unto Himself. But listen, my friend, I've said all that to say this. Listen, I believe tonight, He said, as the Father has sent me into the world, even so send I you. My friend, tonight we need to realize that responsibility that we have as Baptists tonight. We have a responsibility. I read in John chapter 20, after the Lord Jesus Christ had fulfilled His mission and went to the cross of Calvary and there was buried and rose again and appeared unto His disciples. And I believe it was His church. If it wasn't, then it didn't exist before that, but it did. He said He built His church. And He said unto them in John 20 and in verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Brothers, that includes me.
Tell you what, we need to be more mindful of our responsibility that we have. Oh, I hear a lot of time now, I hear people talking about, boy, I'm a Baptist, and I'm glad I'm a Baptist. I thank God for the teaching that I did have as a young preacher. I thank God for Brother Clark and some of them. Yeah, used to think he was older than I was. Boy, I'm getting so close to him. You know how you say, Brother Clark, hear them old preachers. Well, I'm getting not far from them, Brother Clark. I'm not far behind you. But listen, we're sent. We're not sent of our own accord. No, sir. We're not here of our own accord. We're not supposed to go around and just do our own business. Not a bit. Not here tonight of my own accord. I'm not preaching of my own accord. Sent me. You know, Baptists, we need to get that into our hearts and minds. I believe it's just as literal. If Jesus Christ come into the world and fulfilled His mission, then we have a responsibility to do and carry out the commission that He gave us. Have that responsibility. Didn't choose. John 15:16 said, you didn't choose me, I've chosen you. Chosen you. This is what He said in John 17. John 17, verse 11. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. What's he talking about? These are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep thou through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. In verse 15, he said, I pray that thou, not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. I tell you what, a lot of the brethren have been talking about, and I know there's trials, and I know there's troubles, and boy, I can relate to most of the brethren that preached. Boy, I can relate to most of the things, Brother Asbury and some of you that preach, and Brother Jones. But He didn't leave us here that we just might live a life of ease. Philippians 1:29 said, He's given unto you in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for His name. Amen. We have a lot of trials and temptations and troubles in this world. But you know what? I might say something that, I don't know. I'll tell you what, I've lost a lot of battles because of my own fault. And we want to blame the devil for everything. I tell you tonight, the devil can't do anything that God does not allow him to do. He has to give permission in order to try you. When Jesus said, Simon Peter, the Lord's desire, the Satan's desire to have you sift you as wheat, He was saying, Simon, He said, the Lord, the Satan come and had to get permission from me in order to do it. Did to Job. We're sent into the world on a mission. On a mission. And I tell you what, boy, down there where I'm at, I hear so many times, and said, boy, we've heard that for years and years. There's not a one here tonight that believes anything they don't practice. Don't tell me you do. You believe what you practice and nothing else. And that's all. Baptists getting high, well, I just believe all this and that. We believe just exactly what we practice. And I believe we're saint. Be sanctified. Set apart. Set apart for a purpose. The Lord Jesus Christ said in prayer, He said, I sanctify myself. You know what? He set Himself aside.
died, that we, you and I, might have an everlasting life.
Amen.
We're a sanctified people, separated.
Amen.
Paul said that. I was separated unto the gospel, to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the belief of the truth. Jesus Christ was sent to reveal the Father. And I tell you, you and I tonight are sent to reveal the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost and the dying world. Christ said He was the light of the world. But He also said in the book of Matthew, He said, He chosen the people. And He said, ye are the light of the world. In the book of Philippians, Paul was talking about the Christians there in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. Listen to what Paul says. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 15 he said, that ye may be the blameless and harmless sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Well, I tell you, we've got to the place, a lot of people have, a lot of churches. I've been preaching for about 4 months on the radio about the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And boy, people don't like that. But we've been called. We're chosen for a purpose. We're to be a witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. In this godless world, God-dishonoring world that we live in today. He said we're ambassadors for Christ. But I thought about this also. I tell you what. Christ was sent. Christ was qualified. Christ was equipped. You believe God has chosen a people? Ill-equipped. Not able to do anything. Boy, I tell you what, we get to the place at times to just wring our hands and can't do. I tell you what. Lord's taught me some things. I guess you're never too old. Every day I learn something. But I heard someone else quote that script. I'll tell you what, every morning, Brother Clark, every morning I wake up early and I try to say, God, let me put on that whole armor before I walk out of the house that I might be spared from them snares of the devil. Isn't that what he said in Ephesians? He said, put it on. Most of the time we just go about and the devil has the upper hand. I don't believe we're ill-equipped. No, in Acts chapter 2, we not go into the Holy Spirit of God, endued the church with power, commission the church to carry out the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't believe tonight that Lord Jesus Christ sent us into the church that we should be defeated by the things of the world. Listen, Jesus Christ came and finished the work and the work and there won out victoriously. And we tonight ought to be a victorious child of God. Be victorious. I tell you what. We let the devil have the upper hand. I told our people down there, you know what? Every time you say no to the will of God, the devil's already won. Every time. You know what? We talk about our troubles and our trials and our temptation. You know what? We don't use the power that's available. put on the whole armor of God. I don't believe God sent this people into the world that we'd be defeated. And I tell you what, the older I get, in the last year, I'm more determined to fight than I ever have. Brother, I tell you what, I feel good about it. And I said, I go out every day, I say, Lord, don't let me go out without that protection. I believe that's what I said. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the snares of the devil. Have protection. Paul said we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. But many times, listen, many times we're defeated because we fail to use the power that's available. Used to hear, I've said this, no, used to hear that saying, there was an old colored comedian used to say, the devil made you do it. You know what? The devil never made anybody do anything. No, he didn't. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think Brother Phillips or somebody quoted that scripture tonight. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 13 said, there is no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful. That's enough right there. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above what ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape. You know what? We need to look for that way of escape. God didn't say you're not going to be tempted. God didn't say you wasn't going to have them temptations. He said there is a way to escape that temptation. We can escape it. Many times we're defeated. And just, I read an article I wanted to tell you about. I thought it was a good illustration. Brother Clark would probably understand about it. He trains dogs. I read this article. A man said, you take a dog, a little pup, and put a collar around him. You have a rope on him, you know, and you try to teach him to sit up. You jerk that rope. You do other things to try to get him to lay down, sit up, or whatever he's going to do. You go through with that same thing every day. Always jerking that rope or shock him or something he does. And after so long, you can take that rope off, you can take that collar off, and say, lay down, and he'll lay down. If he's a good dog. Huh? Sit up, and they sit up. When I was lost, I had a collar around my neck. But at Calvary, Jesus Christ removed that collar. But I'm in such a habit of going the same old way that every time Satan hollers, I roll over and do the same thing. And I lose the battle. That's what happens. So accustomed, the Apostle Paul said, that sin shall not have dominion over you. I have sin that works in me, but it does not have authority over my life. Does not have to. Because if I died, I'm died unto, died unto sin, but alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can have victory. Tell you what, we go to the wrong places, look at the wrong things. And every time Satan jumps up, we just roll over just like that dog is used to sitting up and rolling over. We're just defeated right off instead of we're so used to every time we jerk that collar. But the Lord Jesus Christ took that off. Amen, brother. But I tell you what, we have power. John said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. I've lost more battles. That was just my own fault. But listen, he said, even so, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. Jesus finished the work. That's finished. And he cried out there, he said, it's finished. But you know what? The work here isn't finished. Not finished. Went to Peru 2 weeks ago. When I went first day, there was 80,000 people. When I went back last year, there was 300,000 people. 4 kilometers from the city to the airport, and there's still people as thick as chickens. You could have 5 churches. And not a missionary been there in 3 years. Abandoned as far as help. And they organized 4 churches last year. Some of them was just young boys when I was there. Church I pastor and Brother Lyman, we'd sent money this year. Churches had fallen down. And we rebuilt one completely and got 4 others halfway built. But I tell you what, there's thousands of people never heard the gospel. It's not over. I tell you what. But talks to the missionary conference. I tell you what. I want to raise $2,000 to buy him a boat. I rented a boat while I was there. They don't have enough money to pay for a passage. The last time they went on the river, baptized. First Baptist Church, they baptized 38 people in one place. There's no one to help. They're poor. But you think about it. God didn't send an angel. You know what He did? He sent a poor old country boy like me. And so you've got a job to do.
Amen.
Tell you what, there's a lot of things that aren't finished yet. A lot of work. I believe where He said that God had sent Him to do work, to finish the work. I believe we have that same responsibility. Do work. Many times we talk about, say, well, we have trials. We have suffering. How about the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible said He learned obedience through suffering. Though He was a son, yet He suffered. I'll tell you another thing. You don't hear about these brethren talking about it. I tell you what, I believe Brother Asbury mentioned it. I believe in the day of grace, suffering's God's method of perfecting faith. Such as that. Well, we don't like them trials. We don't like them suffering. But listen, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 6 through 7, certainly he's talking about that. And I believe Peter, when he's talking about the trials, remember that trial there when he denied, even at the temptation, denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And he writes concerning it. And he said in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I believe suffering in a child of God is to perfect our faith that we might serve Him better. First Peter 5 and 10 tells us there, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. Read Apostle Peter. Yeah, he went through some trials. So did Apostle Paul. And you know what? I believe that trial Paul had was to keep him humble.
can depend upon God.
You know, I believe that trials and suffering, it will cause us to be dependent. I believe it's God's desire that you and I be completely dependent upon God. You want to go back, not take time to read. I thought about this a lot. You know why God wants us to be dependent upon Him? Oh, there's a lot of reasons. But I read, we're the highest archangel in heaven. In Isaiah 14, one time said, I will. I'll exalt myself above the throne of God. I will make myself like the Most High. I will do this. And the first man in the garden, he did the very same thing. And there's been a generation after generation said, I will. And God said, you ought to depend upon me.
Yeah.
I will. I believe that's the reason, one of them. Believe that trial of Paul that he said, my grace is sufficient for you.
Yes.
It'll purify our faith. That's what Job said. He said, when I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold.
Amen.
Tell you what, we're rich. We're rich in this country. When I went to Peru last year, 2.5 years ago, they changed money. It was dollar for dollar. A little while later, it was 640 when I got there last year. When I left, it was 1,050 to 1. When I went this year, it was 4,200 to 1. And at the end of 6 days, it was 6,700 to 1. Sat down and ate dinner. Two of us cost $72,800 in fees. And some of my preacher brethren, they said, sometimes we don't eat once in 3 days. And they're faithful. Brother Lyman knows that. We have too much. Somebody said, well, what can I do? I want you to see, and I'm going to close. Acts chapter 3. This is about the man that sat at the gate called Beautiful. We'll not read all them verses. It said in verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. But that wasn't all. He said he took him by the right hand. Brother, how many we can put out our hand and lift somebody up? It's just not our giving. How many times we walk by and see somebody lost and down to go to hell. I tell you what, we need to reach out. That's what John did. Gave him his hand. Reached out to help him.
Amen.
There's a lot of people tonight yet. Like Apostle Paul, where he said, Macedonia said, come over and help us. Tell you what. Oh, there's a lot of places. I don't know about. I know about Peru. Old Simone Gaima, we've heard us talk about that. Oh, we took the Indian when I was there. The fourth generation of his family in the First Baptist Church in Iquitos. We ordained his grandson when I was down there 2 weeks ago. Preached the gospel. They don't have nothing. Dirt floors. Thatched roof. Makes me ashamed when I go there. Oh, how grateful they are. They sing a song when they left, God be with you till we meet again. I said, Brother Kiss, I'm glad you never forgot us. Tell you what, we ought to get up every morning. Whatever we're going to do, or ask yourself, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? I'll tell you what, if everything you do, when you start to do it, say, well, what would Jesus do? Well, I'll tell you what, it would change our way of doing things. Lord
Jesus. Amen, brother. Amen. All right, but praise God for men with burdened hearts.
Amen.
Because when God burdens hearts, He always uses that to give other people burdens.
Amen.
I thought while Brother Kissel was preaching, and of course I've known Brother Kissel has had a burden for Peru. It's easy to see. You know, it's been hard to see it all. But what I thought about was all of us. How big is your mission field? How big is your mission field? Is it bigger than your neighborhood? Some folks' mission field doesn't even include their own home. But if I understand the scriptures, the mission field is the world.
Amen, brother.
The world. I appreciate this. I appreciate it. We have men here tonight that are burdened for different places. And that's the way it ought to be.
Amen.
See, that's the way. People wonder about us independent Baptists. Said, well, I tell you, the reason we need some kind of organized thing is, what if, you know, they start, as Brother Wilbur Johnson said, what if God right off the throne? Said, don't you know there's a danger that, said, what if everybody got interest in the same place? It leaves out so many places. Well, I tell you, that's not true here tonight, is it?
Amen.
I mean, it just is. My burden is not for Peru, like this brother's heart, or Australia, like Brother Phillips, I do have a burden. And I want to help them with their burdens. And I believe that's the purpose of this. We've been just having a conference, you know. But I felt like this time that God is going to do something special for us. And He's doing that. I mean, I cut my teeth on this kind of preaching and teaching. This isn't anything new to me. It isn't anything new to many of you. But it may be brand new to some of you. So may God help us tonight to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Where we can't go, we can sin. You know that? May the Lord help us. My desire for the Faith Missionary Baptist Church. You know I like the word missionary. We whacked around on it and cut it down. And a lot of people are kind of ashamed to be missionary Baptist. And they just cut it off to Baptist. Now if you do that, that's your business. And I'm not putting my nose in your business much. But I believe Jesus Christ was a missionary Baptist. I believe old John was a missionary Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Wasn't that, isn't that missionary? I believe that. So may the Lord see fit to do something about these burdens of these men tonight. And get we preachers under the burdens that we ought to have. to hell. And get the membership of churches again to turn loose of their dollars and give. And I'll guarantee you tonight that churches and people like are gathered here tonight that believe in the doctrines of grace and at the same time believe our missionary responsibility will give and do more for missions than anybody that doesn't believe it. And that's the purpose of it. May the Lord help us tonight. If you're here tonight and lost, you need a missionary message, which is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Let's stand together, sing an invitation hymn, or sing a hymn, a song. If you don't know the Lord tonight, I know Him. These brethren that preach know Him. If you can't trust Him where you are, I don't see one single thing wrong with you coming forward if you're concerned about being saved. And sit right down here and let some of these saved brethren tell you how the Lord saved them. Now, if you're against that, I'm sorry. Amen. You're kind of sorry yourself. Huh? Isn't that the truth? Brother, I ain't saved. I don't believe this thing about moments, like as such. You know, I don't believe exactly.